السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. الحمد لله. This is our, I believe, the eighth sitting and session about Asma Allah al-Husna, the names and beautiful names and beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name today, inshaAllah, is Al-Mutakabbir. And we're going by order from the Surah Al-Hashr, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. And we always say that the purpose of getting to know أسماء الله الحسنى is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way to know Allah is through Allah. And Allah give us His names and attributes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be able to have a lots of information with which we can express our gratitude or explain, you know, the attributes of Allah and who is Allah in abundance. But when we start talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tend not to have much information. And we tend to say only a few things and then we run out of words. And anything that we are excited about, anything that we are informed about, we are able to talk about it and get other people excited about it. And it is the most honorable of knowledge is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing more honorable than that. Talking about Allah's attributes, talking about Allah's words, the Quran, and talking about Allah's prophet, last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah. That is the best knowledge, okay, ever in the history of man, the history of everything. Okay? Because Allah is known by everything, not just by mankind, by every being that's created, knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And that knowledge brings one into comfort of this life and the magnification, if you will, with the attributes of Allah around us. So one will be more, his life will be more, or her life will be more gratifying, if you will. Okay? Now that you know, and the what we know is so little that it is like a pin or a needle that is put in the ocean and then you take it out. You know, what we know is what, comparing to the knowledge of Allah, that like that drop that is hanging, if there is anything hanging barely on the needle from the ocean. Okay? And that tells us, you know, about how wonderful this is when we become knowledgeable of this knowledge in Jannah, in the hereafter. When we start in the process of moving from this life to the next in death. So we start seeing and getting to know that which we do not know in this life. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And the day will take the veil off your eyes, so your vision now is more clear. So Allah gave us His names and attributes with words. words that we can begin to understand, but not totally surround and contain, because Allah cannot be contained. But the pleasure of knowing it is possible to have that pleasure of getting to know this. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mutakabbir, as we used to all the names so far, alhamdulillah, we try to get an understanding of what this name is by giving examples. Because it does not matter, you know, when you translate it, even in Arabic when you say it, you know, you need to still understand it when you know the words even. But in English, when you translate it to words in English, then what do these words mean? So we need to, can we, first of all, we ask the question, can we give examples? Are we allowed to give examples in such matters? And scholars said, yes, we are allowed to do so. But we say, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, for Allah the best of, Allah is the best, for Allah is the best of example, or Allah is the best of example. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah have given examples. Okay? That Allah gives example of His light. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحَ الْمُصْبَاحُ فِي سُجَاجَةٍ. The likeness of the light of Allah is like a glass that is, a mishkat that is something in the wall that's put in, in the wall where you put the light in it, and in the window, yes, the window that is only open in one side is through your side. Yeah, I know there is an English word for it. And Allah goes on in describing the likeness of the light of Allah, and so on. So we say, yes, we can give examples, and we say, لله المثل الأعلى. So المتكبر, from the word كبر, or كبر, that is greatness. When we say, just like we said last week, there are names, especially this name, that when one is given that attribute, it is an insult. And it was given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a compliment, a great compliment. Okay. How? For example, if you need money for something that is absolutely needed, and then you go to someone and ask, I need $100,000. And that person is very poor, does not have it. He will tell you, of course, at your service, whatever you ask for, no problem. And when you go to someone who is very rich, he has multiple of that, he will tell you, I, inshallah, I have it, and consider it done, you'll have the money. See, they both give the same answer. But the first one, it is not a good quality. Okay, to give that answer is a bad quality that he has, because he isn't capable of doing that. But for the second person who is rich, it is a good quality, an honorable quality, because he's capable of doing that. Okay? So now we look at, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an attribute that Allah would have. And like al-mutakabbir, it is a greatness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a compliment. But for a person, who are you? Who are you? What are you capable of to have this kind of attribute? Okay? To have as it is unacceptable. So when a person who has courage and power tell you, I'm going to come to your aid, this is a good attribute. A person who is weak, does not have any means, say, I'm going to come to your aid, that is not a good attribute. A person who is rich and saying, I can give you, and I will give you, that's a good attribute. A person who is poor, cannot give and say the same thing, that is not a good attribute, and on and on and on. So Allah has this totality of everything. Therefore, He is al-mutakabbir. When Allah, these attributes of Allah is given in goodness and it is in goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give from what He has to those who are in need in all aspects of life and not hold back. This is a great attribute. This is a compliment. And in this sense, this attribute is connected to the attribute that we talked about before, al-mu'min, the one who knows himself. Allah knows himself. Okay? So here is Allah knows himself and has all these attributes and all this greatness and gives from his greatness to those that he created. Okay? Human being cannot compare himself to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, meaning hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith, this is the hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Allah, Allah said. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُحِبُّ ثَلَاثٍ وَحُبِّي لِثَلَاثٍ أَشَدٍ. I love three, and my love to three is even more intense. أُحِبُّ الطَّائِعِينَ. I love those who are obedient. وَحُبِّي لِلشَّابِ الطَّائِعِ أَشَدٍ. And my love to the young man who is obedient is even more intense and more in abundance. Because here is a young man. He has the energy and the youth and the desire to disobey and the temptation. So for him to go against that and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves, especially loves al-ashab al-ta'i. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, talking about those who are humble, okay? Those who are not khushu'a. I'm trying to find the right word in Arabic, or the actual word in Arabic in the hadith for it. Inshallah, it will come. Which means those who are humble. Okay. أحب المتواضعين. Those who are, they have تواضع. They have been humble. وحبي للغني المتواضع أشد. And my love for the one who is rich and humble is more. Because the one who is rich, it needs a lot of work for him to become humble. Okay? So the love for the one who is working, you know, into being humble is even more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَحُبُّ الْكُرَمَاءِ. And I love those who are generous. وَحُبِّي لِلْفَقِيرِ الْكَرِيمِ أَشَدْ. And my love for the one who is poor and generous even in more intense. Okay? Because here is a poor person who is generous, gives from things that he needs, but he gives from it. Allah loves him even more. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَبْغَضُ ثَلَاثٍ. And I dislike and hate three. Okay, and my dislike even intense to three. أَبْغَضُ الْعُصَاهِ. I dislike those who are disobedient. وَبُغْضِي لِلشَّيْخِ الْعَاصِي أَشَدْ. And my hatred or my dislike to the old man who is a disobedient is more. Here is an old man that is easy for him to become obedient. And it takes work from him to become disobedient. So Allah intensely dislikes such a person. وَأَبْغَضُ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. And I dislike those who have kibr. You know, try to share with Allah this attribute. Okay, of al-mutakabbir. Allah hates them. Allah dislikes them. وبغضي للفقير المتكبر أشد. Okay. And my dislike to the poor person who have this kibar is even more. Because he does not have anything to have some kind of a feel greatness about, or to work, you know, to get himself humble. He needs to work to get himself with this kibar. So he's working into a level that he does not even have, and he cannot reach, and does not have anything to do with it. That is, he is disliked even more by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. وَأَبْغَضُ الْبَخِيلِ. And I dislike he who is miser, who's tight-handed. Okay. وَبُغْضِي لِلْغَنِيِّ الْبَخِيلِ أَشَدْ. And my hatred and dislike to the one who is rich and miser is even more. Okay? Because this is a quality that he should not have. Allah has given him. So he should be, you know, given from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. This is easy to do. So at-ta'a, obedience, okay, from a young man, it is beloved to Allah more. Because he's working to achieve it. And disobedient, Allah hates and hates it from an especially an old man, because he needs to work more to disobey. Okay? And he's not even staying as he is. And being humble or being mutakabbir. Being humble, Allah loves it more from those who are rich. And being mutakabbir, Allah hates it more from those who are poor. And giving in the way of Allah, Allah loves more the poor one when he is giving. And the one who is rich and holding back, Allah hates more than the one who is not rich and holds back and being a miser. So now we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mutakabbir in the universe. When we look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, then we know who we ask in. See? Who we ask. When you in your heart and your mind think of Allah through His creation, then you'll start to know the magnificence, to begin to know the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. So when we know that between us and the moon, there is a minute of a speed of light, a minute of time of light. Listen. A second. Okay, between us and the sun would be
8 minutes.
8 minutes. Between us and the nearest bright star, there are 4 light years. 4 light years. Now imagine between us, so it by the speed of man, meaning the speed that we Allah allowed us to reach, it will take us 50,000 years to get there. Okay? 50,000 years to get to the nearest star with the speed that we able to reach in this earth. Okay? This is the nearest star to us. If we're talking about the North Star, this is, multiply this number by 1,000. Multiply all these numbers by 1,000. Okay? 4 years becomes 4,000 years. And 50,000 years become 50,000 times 1,000. That's what? 5 million? 50 million. That's one more zero I missed. 50 million. Okay? Now, and we're talking about our galaxy. Okay, we're talking about things that are in the heavens that we are in. Okay, we're not going outside of that. Okay, so Allah is al-mutakabbir. Imagine yourself, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is such power. Okay, so Allah is al-mutakabbir. When we think of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed us purposely in a very specific way, okay, we have scientists here, right? How many sperms that the man produces at one time? At one time, 100 million. How many on the head of every sperm, the marks of the genes and the description of the genes of, you know, what is the mark? How many marks?
Genes?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. 50 millions or so on each sperm. Okay? Now, we're talking about these millions and billions of numbers in a space that is few inches. Okay? Few inches. And Allah select from that one sperm to a particular egg, so it will give a very specific person, okay, very specific person that grow up to a certain age will die, and you know, designed exactly of how many hairs in your head you're going to have and how many you're going to lose, and on, okay. Now when you ask, you are asking Allah, who is capable over all of these things. Okay? We do not have in our mind or in our heart this presence. See, now when we say the presence of Allah, we do not mean it physically. The presence of the power and the attributes of Allah with you in your heart and your mind, when you are praying, when you are asking, this is how we achieve khushu'. Okay? The more we research in this, the more we ask. It's very, you know, common nowadays information, okay? The more we are less stressed, okay? Because you are asking al-mutakabbir, okay? You ask the one with the attributes that Allah deserves, and Allah has, and Allah is capable of doing everything. Okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to the disbelievers his powers and his, you know, what he does, Allah talks about the unseen, and then before he talks about the unseen, talks about that which is seen, and then says, and the one who does this can also do this. See, again an example, when we have someone here who can carry this member, okay, carry this member and walk around with it, how heavy this is, okay? And then, again, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, for Allah, the best of example, and then I can tell you, this person can carry this stick and throw it across the room. We'll say, of course. There is no doubt about that. He just lifted this thing here, you know, that has, you know, well, you know, few hundred pounds or 1,000 pounds. Okay? But so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the heavens and the earth, okay, and what's in between, that is all the creation of Allah, and Allah is maintaining all of that. And then Allah says, there is an hereafter. And there you're going to die, and you're going to come back, and you're going to enter Jannah or hellfire. So the one who reflects on all of this will say, of course. You know, are we going to be resurrected after we are dead? Of course. The one who created you out of nothing definitely can create you out of something. Now that you are dead, you are still something. Okay? Allah will bring you back up from that. Okay? That is easier than creating you out of nothing. Okay? So we look at the universe around us. We look at ourselves and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed us. Okay? And any imperfection, any small adjustment, okay, it will cause a lot of problems. Or malfunction, if you will. There's no malfunction. It is by the will of Allah. Okay, when you are sleeping and the saliva becomes so much in your mouth and you swallow, why this goes into the right place and does not enter the ri'atayn, the lungs? Okay? There is a mechanism that opens and closes to allow air come in or food to come in. If there is some kind of malfunction to this, just in slight movement, you can, you know, it will cause a lot of problems. And this is happening while you're sleeping. And this is going on. The eyes that has liquid in it, constantly being lubricated all the time, with a very special lubrication that will never freeze. Okay, this is a liquid that is, if it is any liquid, if it is within the element that is below zero in a certain degrees, it will freeze. Okay, but you can be somewhere when you have the temperature is so low, and if you have a drop of water before you can see it as water, it freezes in the mid-air, if you will. Okay, how cold it is. But your eyes are well and adjusting. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mutakabbir created it this way. Okay. When we stand up at night and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cry and make sujood. The companions used to cry and make sujood because they understood some of these, and even though they did not reach the knowledge, mean physical knowledge that we know today, but from what they see, from the sky they see, and the animals that they see, and everything around them, and how they function as a human being, and so forth, they are so moved, okay, by, you know, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they cannot help but to make sujood and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And we'll never reach that level until we are touched by the attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, and he deserves greatness. Anyone who seeks and tries to seek that greatness will never, number one, will never achieve it. Number two, he will be punished in hellfire. Okay? Al-kibriya'u rida'i. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this kibriya is my cover of mine. Okay? The one who shares it with me, I will throw him into hellfire. Of course, no one will be able to share it with Allah. Okay? But the one who start approaching this thought, okay, Allah, and in some hadith, أُلْقِهِ فِي جَهَنَّمْ وَلَا أُبَالِي, that I will throw him in hellfire and I will not, you know, care any about him. Okay? Now, yes, one atom of kibr. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It is something you cannot even weigh with your own hand, okay? Yeah. An atom weight. Yes. That heart that will have that atom weight of kibr will not survive. Will not survive. This is, you know, I cannot say this is Allah. This is Allah that we know, the one that we know, okay, we know of right now. But in the hereafter, we'll know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine you being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Imagine, and that is the ultimate reward, because you're going to be with these attributes. Okay? With this, and experience these attributes. This is a pleasure that has no equal. Okay? Similar to this life, that when we are with the attributes of Allah is a pleasure that has no equal. Okay, in this life, with that limited information, limited knowledge that we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said before, that Allah, that once some scholars said that it is a Jannah, that one must pass by it and experience it before the Jannah of the hereafter. Ibn Taymiyyah said that, alhamdulillah. Okay? You have someone who's doing homework. Yes. And you know, talking about Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he would be in jail. He was in jail for taking 7 or 9 times. Okay? And when the door closes on him, you know, they close the door, it says, وَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِبَابْ that فِي بَطِنِهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَهِرُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ, that a door shut between them, described from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, that in a door, that from inside of it is mercy and from outside of it is hellfire and punishment. He's talking about mercy inside the cell that he is in. Okay? Now, how could one reach this level of comfort that defines all logic that we have? Because he senses the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, and knows that is all rahman and all goodness. Okay, the point when he says, you know, we used to say that my Jannah is in my chest. So what are you going to do with me? You know, nothing he could do. Okay. And it was said that he would sit and teaches those who are in jail with him. And when the time would was due for some of them to leave, they wouldn't leave. Because now they tasted, the knowledge and so forth, and they wanted to stay more so they could learn more. Point being is, I'm sorry, somebody answer the phone? Okay. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mutakabbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with this attribute that's among it, or in it, there are many attributes, okay, that deserve to be in the highest level of everything. And a person, a believer, who has this understanding, okay, that the one he is with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is having these attributes and this control over his creation, this mulk and ownership, is capable of giving him anything at any time, lifting everything that is bothersome away from them. This feeling alone is a pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a model for us, okay, to achieve this knowledge. See, we're talking about Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah. Now we talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was an example of these, of the attributes. When Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam khuluquhu al-Quran, his manners with the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, takhallaqu bi khuluqillah, have the manners of Allah, meaning the attributes of Allah. You'll see it in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being. Okay. That he is, you know, the rich person, meaning he had a lot of money comes to him, and how he used this money in the best of way. He was the poorest of the poor at some times. And he his attributes and his behavior and his attitude as a poor was the best of example. Okay? He was in a situation that would be that makes anyone angry. And he was the one who has the best of forbearance, that sabr and hilm. Okay? And on and on. Okay? Now, when we look at that, we said today in the khutbah today that when we try to get things away from us that is bothersome, try to put ourselves into conditions where we can take the means so we can have, you know, the best and keep the worst away and so forth. We tend to look at it first of the means. How to achieve this by doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and so forth and do it, which is okay. But this has to come second. First is find out, and this is, you know, for a normal person, it's illogical, okay? Find out what is it that you're doing that is not according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though it might not have anything to do with this matter. Even though it might not have to do anything to do with this matter. But you as a human being, what is it that you're doing that displeases Allah? And what is it that you're doing that is not according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Okay? First, we need to do that. From the way you look, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you eat, the way you do everything. Okay? There are, on all of this, there are musts and there are choices. Okay? Not everything has to be according to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a way of a must. Only that which Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is a must. But it must be, you have to take it as a must. This is what I'm talking about. And as our predecessors was describing, that at the time when they were, battle that they were, did not reach victory in it quickly, and they took a long time, and they were expecting victory soon. So what did they say? What did they do first? Okay, the before they looked at the tactics of war and improving things and so forth, which is a duty, and this is the Sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on us. They first checked themselves. They said, "What is it that we're doing that's against the Sunnah, or what is it that the Sunnah that we're not doing?" Okay. First, they wanted to reach that to correct themselves, and then, you know, look at the tactics. So one of them suggested that we do not have miswaks anymore. The miswaks are gone. Okay, or you know, we need to do siwak, to brush our teeth. Now, what is this? What is this has to do with the battle of war? Nothing, but it has to do with the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what did they do? They sent someone, got some sticks from some trees and stuff, and they distributed it among the army, okay? While they're thinking about how they're going to attack, they all do this and that, and they all sat there and started, you know, sharpening their teeth. That's what the enemy thought, okay? The enemy thought that they were sharpening their teeth, okay? They thought that they ran out of ammunition or food. They ran out of something. The sight of people sitting there, you know, few thousands all sharpened their teeth, you know, put something in their heart, okay? And as they, you know, adjusted their tactics, so by the time they got up and so forth, the battle was over, okay? A Muslim does not depend on that alone. But you must depend on that. If you don't depend on that, you're truly not going to get victory in anything that you do. Okay? Because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the best of example to follow in everything. So therefore, we go and check and analyze and follow. And subhanAllah, can you imagine yourself going through a test and somebody giving you the answering sheet, and you say, "No, I don't want it." Okay, you are going through a test, and here is the answer sheet. Okay, When you find a question, look at the answer sheet and the answer will be there and just implement it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. Given us the answer sheet in everything. Everything. Literally everything. Okay? And if there is something that is missing in your life that you don't know the answer from the sunnah, you know that you are missing information. You need to look for it. It has to be something that is said about everything. Okay? And as we said today, that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said ma'ada ar-rusul, there is nothing became the enemy of the messenger except one thing, al-adat, the customs. Okay, you grow up in a certain habit, in a certain doing things in a certain way, and you do not recheck it and see if it is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. Okay, you do not recheck it according to that one who has the best attributes, okay, the best of manners, that's closer to the manners of Allah, closer to the attribute of Allah. We talk about the attributes, we talk about Rasulullah saying, have the manners of Allah, who has the best of manners. Rasulullah has the best of manners, the manners of Allah. So therefore, this is a live example. So when we talk about the attributes of Allah and talk about it intellectually, meaning try to break it down, see what it means and so forth and so on, to become live with us and quite understand it. Also, we have an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in implemented in a physical live way with us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be recorded. Okay, he's the only man in history that we know everything about him. The only man. Okay, you know everything from his ancestors, who they were by name. Okay, to, you know, the environment around him before he was born, the minute he was born, what happened, and in everything, details in his life and his age, wherever he was and whatever he was doing, all the way through until he died. Okay, what else do we know? What else do we need so we can have an answer in sheet except the manners, the best manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Okay, so today we talked about Allah al-Mutakabbir. We said that give examples, and it's okay, and the best example is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person claims that they can do something and they cannot, this is takabbur. If they know they cannot do it, okay, that's takabbur. This is a defect. But if a person knows that he can do it, because of Allah's ability, Allah gave him certain abilities that he can. Now, this attribute is good. So when we cannot share this attribute with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this sense, we only do what we can do according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So when Allah has given us money, Allah loves those who gives, but loves those, you know, who do not have money and wealth to give. See, this is again the what Allah loves more than others. And Allah hates other things, other people than others, when they work to go the opposite direction. Okay, when you it's easy for you not to disobey because you're old, but now it is hard for you to disobey. So when you work on yourself so you disobey, that is Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the most, and so forth. So we share, this is something that we share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, not we share with Allah, Allah has given us from His name, okay? That, but we do not have a total quality of this name, because it's you could never be able to have many attributes of all the attributes in you. It is impossible. But the ones that you have that Allah has given you, you do the best in it and you give that which you can give. Okay. and you use it in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send for you those who are deficient in whatever it is that you have abundance of. And you must know this. You must notice this. Okay? And each of us sitting here now know that what Allah has given you certain gifts. Okay? And these gifts has to be directed to those who have less of it. And Allah will send you those who are in need of it. That's why being in the masajid and working in the masajid is the best work. Why? Because the masajid is doing the best in everything and try to cover all aspects of life. All aspects of life. And Allah has given every one of us certain qualities, okay, in excellence, in one thing and not other. And the masjid will benefit from you, and the work in the way of Allah through the masjid will benefit from you or through you with these attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and this quality that Allah has given you. So you put it at the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in building the masjid of Allah and working the masjid of Allah, especially in areas where no masjid have ever been existed before. Okay? That is the best of work. The best of work. Recognizing the attributes of Allah. And recognizing the attributes of Allah in you. And recognizing the capability that Allah has given you. And you put in it in the house of Allah. And you direct it with the intention and the purity in the way of Allah. What else could be the best work on earth? Nothing. Nothing. Okay? Yes, you have to go to work. You have to earn a living. And you take care of your family, and that is a good deed, and that is, you'll be rewarded for that, okay? But should never take you away from the masjid. Should never take you away from directing these talents that Allah has given you in the way of Allah. And those, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who built the masjid, masjid al-dirar, the masjid of causing harm, okay? Which they claim that goodness, and they hidden hypocrites, and they hidden that which is in a way of disobedient, in a way of obstacles in the way of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril alayhi salam, told him about what they plan, what they are planning, and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and give them and sit with them and lead the prayer there to make it to legitimize the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew what they were doing, send someone to destroy it, and they brought it down, to broke it down completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished for this masjid or this area until today to be just an area where there's nothing in it. Until today, you go to Medina and it's close to Masjid Quba. You go and it's fenced, and you look, there's nothing. It's open. When I saw it, it was like a small, like a weed going at the end of, not even green or anything. At the end, you know, some weed growing there. And you look at it, it affects you in a bad way. What is this? You know, especially when you come in from such a beautiful masjid and go in there and looking at that, it is the worst of deeds. Yeah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to recognize and magnify His attribute in us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to use it in His way, in His masajid, in for the service of Muslimin and for the service of mankind in general. Inshallah, please, if you want to make any comments, inshallah, or say anything, please do so. When you are rich and somebody comes to ask you for help, and you say, I'm going to help you, inshallah, and I will give you whatever you need. And you consider it done. This is not arrogance. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability and so forth, and you're being honest. Okay? But when you are poor, okay, and you claim that you're going to do this and you do this and this and that, this is arrogance.
Okay, still the same.
Yes. Yeah, still arrogance. Okay? Because you are incapable. How could you claim capability when you are incapable? Okay? So now take it in a general form, in a general term. Okay. The one who is rich, who thinks that he is capable of doing this because he's rich, and that's from him, that's arrogance. Okay? But he should know that it is from Allah, and if it wasn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him this, he will not be capable of doing any of this. So that is being humble. Okay? And so the arrogance, it comes from illusions. Okay? A person have illusion that they are capable of things. Okay? And really believe this illusions. Okay? That is kibr. Okay? How insignificant, when we're talking about this universe, okay? How insignificant are we in this universe? Okay? And how magnificent Allah's attributes all around us, and when you look at all of this, right? And then you stand up and claim you can independently able to do this, capable of doing that, and so forth. That is arrogance. That is deserving to be thrown into hellfire without even care. Allahu Akbar.
Yes, that is, yes, mashallah.
Yes. Yeah, and when you reach that level that you think what you're doing is from you, and you start looking down at others, that is, you're attributing what you have is for you, okay, not given to you. When it's attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore Allah have chosen to give it to you and not to give it to the other. So we become humble in this right away. Okay? Yeah. And that's why La ilaha illallah is the word that brings everything to perspective. Everything's to perspective. Because, you know, when you say everything belongs to Allah, there's no deity to be worshipped except Allah. So therefore, you cannot attribute anything to yourself. And you know, scholars talked about how the society was reformed because of this word. Okay? When someone did not attribute the money that he's accumulating to himself, it is from Allah, so therefore he was humble. And he's a rich person, but very humble. Okay? When a person who is honorable among the society because of his lineage to a certain tribe, he knows this is given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has permitted him to be at such place at such time. Therefore, he is not proud because of that, because he has nothing to do with it. So the society became equal. You understand? This is a revolution in the society. And this is a revolution in the concept of money, that's economy. And then when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given law, Allah, the creator of the heaven and the earth, tell you what to do and what not to do, who are you to argue with this? Then that is a political, okay, you know, reform. You know, here is the decision to be made is according to the way of Allah. So just this understanding transformed the whole society. The whole society, just with that one word and truly understanding it. That there is nothing really you are in control of at all, okay? Except, as we said, is the intention and controlling the desires. That is the only thing that you are free in.
Sometimes the environment also makes you arrogant, like, mm-hmm. like in a, if some person attain higher status in the family. Mm-hmm. People start treating him like special, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, behave with him certain way, and that makes him, so that's a danger sometimes also there.
Yes, yes. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two of his attributes will be together. Okay? When we say al-qabid, we say al-basit, the one who holds back and the one who gives. Okay? Al-rafi' wal-khafid, the one who puts, elevates, and the one who brings down. Okay? Meaning that if a person, the environment around him, takes him into, we are human, right? And if somebody keeps complimenting you, and you get used to that, you might have some kind of a sickness there. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are a good person, because you fear Allah, because you have good intention, Allah will bring you down. Okay? To keep you in the path. Right? Brings you down to keep you in the path. So again, it's from the inside. The environment will affect you. But Allah is the most merciful. Allah, when you are genuine, Allah will take you, put you through circumstances to bring you back, to wake you up. To wake you up. Yeah. Wallahu a'lam.
Any? We have many doctors and scientists here. If you want to give us some reflection and things that increases our iman.
Another question about al-mutakabbir. Was it mentioned in the Quran in other verses other than Surah Al-Hashr?
Besides Surah Al-Hashr?
No. Mm.
We'll make that research, inshallah. Yeah. The word Kibriya was mentioned. For Allah, the Kibriya. Al-Mutakabbir is mentioned. Where else? We'll find out, inshallah.
Yeah, I heard a lecture about science and Quran by some scholar, and he gave like 20, 30 examples, like in every field, like in medicine, and mm-hmm. astrology, as you, and Earth, shape of Earth, like it is like egg, not like yes. rounded exactly. 1400 years ago, when nobody knew, they thought the Earth is flat at that time.
Yes.
Nobody knew.
Yes.
And similarly, as you mentioned, in the yes. stars and
yes, these things will you can see the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the creation, but not to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As someone came to an old lady, famous story, and said, "Do you know so and so Sheikh? He wrote a book he had 1,000 proof of the existence of Allah." She said, because he had 1,000 doubts of the existence of Allah. Yeah. you don't need any proof. Huh? That's right. You need a book, right? Okay. But to reflect on this, as you beautifully put it, in a way of the magnificence of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. Yeah, that puts us in more khushu' and more being more humble, and where you belong in this universe. Yes. Yeah. That takes the arrogance away. Yeah. And the sisters as well, if they would like to make any comments, inshallah. Okay. What time do we have? We have 2 minutes yet. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum.